Well, this is the time of year whenever people are looking for new lives. They maybe look for new lives through dieting, or by giving up smoking, or by exercising a little bit more, or they just simply hope that with the departure of 2018, they're leaving behind a year of sadness maybe and of disappointment, and they're hoping that 2019 will give them a whole new lease of life. But today, as we come to Joshua chapter 2, I want to think about this lady called Rahab, who receives a new life. But she receives a new life not through dieting or through exercising, but through the gift of God, as God works in her life. You remember last week, we stood with Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. The people of Israel are on the brink of entering the promised land. They've been wandering for 40 years through the desert. And then comes the time to enter the land, but the trouble is it's occupied territory. So here in verse 1, Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. And these two spies, they stop with a woman called Rahab. She probably had something like a bed and breakfast maybe, although she was also a prostitute. The name had stuck. I think she had changed by this stage, but the name had stuck, and every time nearly in Scripture she's referred to, she's called a prostitute named Rahab, sometimes nicknamed Stick. And these men, as they stop with her for however long, they make an amazing discovery about her life. They discover that, well, maybe Rahab, Ra was the Egyptian god, the pagan god that she had maybe been named after. But she's no longer worshiping this pagan god. She was a prostitute, well known, as I say, but as I suspect, and I'll show you later, her life has changed. She's a Gentile. She's a stranger to the Bible. She's a stranger to the God and to the people of God. And yet she's confessing faith in God. And these things are adding up to show us that this woman has a new life. God has been at work in her, and the signs are there that God has given her new life, and I want to show you how that came about. First of all, let me talk about the knowledge that I believe this woman had acted upon, and we're told about this in verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Word has come to Rahab that God is at work. 40 years before, the people of Israel had escaped from the land of Egypt, and the Egyptians had been drowned in the sea, but the Israelites had come through the waters. People have been talking about that for 40 years. Word has also come back about the defeat of Og and Sihon, two kings who it seems were most unlikely to fall, and yet they had been defeated by this slave army of slaves, these Israelites, ex-slaves. And as word has come through, people's hearts are melting. That's a really interesting phrase, isn't it? This country are melting, verse 9, in fear because of you. People's hearts can be hard as nails, hard as hardened frost, and yet as word has come to them about what God has been doing, they're melting. They're melting on the inside. And this fear has come upon them. Melting in fear because of you. Our hearts sink, says verse 11. Everyone's courage has failed. Because God has been at work, and the word as it has come to these Amorite people, they've been affected by it. And whilst many people, it tells us, are stricken with fear and guilt and so on, it's Rahab alone who embraces this God for herself. It's Rahab alone who believes in God. It's Rahab alone who casts herself upon the Lord. Sometimes it's a lonely business to believe in God, especially when you're on your own, maybe in your home or in your workplace or school class. It can be hard to believe and to walk closely with God whenever you feel as if you're the only one. But that was Rahab, and there's great encouragement here that though we may be few in number, that God is able to maintain his people. God is able to raise up from the very pagan nations people unto himself. And this woman is a most unlikely person, and yet God has been at work in her. And this is why she turns up in the New Testament in that passage we read in Hebrews 11 as one of the galaxy of stars. Great heroes of the Old Testament, people like Abraham and Noah and Moses, and then Rahab the prostitute. We read about Abraham by faith, Noah by faith, Moses by faith, and then there's Rahab by faith. Perish not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. Rahab didn't perish because she believed the word. She believed the call of God that has come to her, and she committed herself to all that God had shown to her, believing that God was real, believing that God was ruling over the nations, believing that God was on the move and God was at work. Could I ask you today, what about you? Have you put your faith into God and God alone for your salvation? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not. The others believe not, but Rahab believed when she had received the spies with peace. Let me illustrate for a moment. Think of a person who is on a boat that's sinking. And they put out a mayday call, and the lifeboat draws alongside, and the lifeboat man says, "Jump, you have to jump." And the person refuses, and again the lifeboat man says, "Jump, you have to jump." And again they refuse to jump, and they go down with their boat, and they're drowned. Let me ask you a question. Did they drown because of the water, or did they drown because of their disobedience? They drown because of their disobedience. Well, others heard the same word that Rahab heard. They disobeyed it. They didn't believe. But Rahab heard it and she believed. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, because she received the spies with peace. And her confession of faith comes there when she says, "The Lord your God." The Lord your God, she says, is God in heaven above and on the earth below, there in verse 11. I wonder if you made that confession, that the Lord God is your God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a decision that you have to make. And the call is to obey that. God's call as it comes to you, that you would obey that call. And not perish by refusing to believe what God is saying to you. Secondly, let me talk about the risks that she took. And we're told about these in verses 4 to 6. The woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. Notice the scriptures are careful to say the men are up on the roof. The men aren't hiding in a room. I think that's significant. The men are on the roof and she's downstairs. The stalks of flax, this is why I believe that this lady has left behind her old life. The stalks of flax are there because now she's seeking to earn a living by spinning and weaving. Anyone who has truly met with God and has had their lives changed will earn their money honestly. But what of the lie she tells? The soldiers come and ask, and she says, "Oh, those guys left, they're away." Does this mean lying is okay? Ralph Davies points out that the Bible neither approves or disapproves of what she does. It just records it. Perhaps the best we can say is that in a war situation, the telling of a lie to protect innocent lives, say, is the lesser of two evils. It was better she told a lie than the two men were dead. But if we get bogged down in such discussions, we rather miss the point of what's going on here, because the point is that Rahab's faith resulted in action. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And Rahab's deed was that she hid the spies. She actually did more than that. She took great risks in doing so. She put her life on the line for God, because real faith, you see, will say that the Lord, serving the Lord, is more important even than life itself. And this is why she turns up in James chapter 2, where James is teaching that faith without deeds is dead. And he says, "Was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction?" Rahab set aside her own welfare, her own comfort, her own safety. She saw beyond the end of her own nose, and instead of just being all talk, Rahab's faith had hands and feet, it had heart and it had head. And even when conditions were far from perfect, this faith took risks and stepped out for God. Let me ask you this morning, you maybe call yourself a Christian, but is that faith you have, is it only ever safe? Is it only ever convenient? You'll do something, but only if it's convenient for you. But in terms of putting yourself out for the Lord, in terms of taking risks, well, that is just an alien concept to you, or maybe even a complete no-no. I saw a man on TV the other day. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. It's irrelevant, really, to what I'm going to tell you. But he had been in the French Alps, caught up very high in the French Alps in a storm, and he had lost both his hands and both his feet because of frostbite, had to be amputated. But in the program I was watching, it was about climbing in Wales, Mount Snowdon. There he was, prosthetic legs and prosthetic hands, and he's climbing Mount Snowdon, highest mountain in Wales. And I was thinking as I watched him, he has such a good attitude as well. What a rebuke to any tendency we might have to play it safe, not to take risks. If ever a man could have said, "I'm just going to sit here and do nothing," it would be him, no hands and no feet. But he loves mountains, and he's letting nothing hold him back from getting up into the mountains that he loves. Tell me this, he's doing it because he loves mountains. How much would you do because you love Christ? Because surely if we say we love Christ, we should be prepared to say, "Nothing's too much trouble for Christ, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Rahab takes huge risks here, and she does so because she's got faith. By faith, Rahab hid the spies. She was considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction. The last thing here is the rewards for her risk-taking, verse 12. She says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the men said. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. I love the way they say, when the Lord gives us the land. The spies 40 years before, 10 of them didn't really believe the Lord was going to give them the land. But these spies, they now know. There's a confidence. There's a trust in God. When the Lord gives us the land. But here was a lady who didn't just plead for herself to be saved, but pleaded for her father to be saved, her mother to be saved, her brothers to be saved, her sisters and her extended family to be saved. This was a compassionate faith. And you know, when God is at work in a man or a woman's life, they aren't content to be saved themselves. They want to win their families. They want to win their friends. They want to win their work colleagues. They want to win their neighbors for the Lord. And she's told to put a rope down through the window as a marker of her house. She lets the men down through the rope. I don't know if it's the same rope, but she hangs, verse 18, a scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and mother, your brothers and all your house into the house, they'll not be saved. There's a marker that this is the house where salvation is to visit. Some people see here a hint of Christ's red blood shed for our sins. Remember in the Old Testament, the Passover lamb, when its blood was shed, the blood was sprinkled on the doorpost. There had to be a hiding beneath the blood. And here, Rahab puts out a red scarlet cord. It's a marker that this house is where salvation is. And today, will we trust in the blood of Christ shed for our sins? And we hide under the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for what happens next, you've got to go to chapter 6 and the fall of Jericho. And in the midst of all that, Rahab and her family were saved because the walls of the city collapse, but the section where her house is remains. A few years ago, we were over in Spain and we went to the old town of Tarragona, and there's part of the city wall still there. And in that city wall, there are still little houses in the walls. People are living in them to this day, little windows, window boxes, and so on. And it was lovely to see because it was a reminder just of how Rahab's house was in the city wall. But when all the rest of the walls collapsed, her house remained standing. The power of God. That 95% or 99% of the walls collapsed, but the one part where they're hiding under the red marker, that place, they're saved. And you know, what a reminder to us of the power of God, that God is able to save out of destruction, that God is able to save out of catastrophe, and to give unto his own. The Lord knows those that are his. And Rahab and her family and all who belong to her are saved when everybody else perishes. It's a picture for you and for me that this world in which we live is one day going to be destroyed. It is one day going to end. But out of this world, God is going to bring unto himself a people. They are the people who are hiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are the people who are putting their faith into him. They're not trusting in themselves. Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The meek are those who don't put their faith in themselves to be saved, but they put their faith in Jesus to be saved. Jesus said, "Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And anyone who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel will not fail to receive 100 times as much. In this present age, and yes, there may be persecutions, but in the age to come, they will receive eternal life." The reward for risk-taking and for living by faith, putting your trust in the Lord. Rahab received it back then. I wonder, have you received it now? As I finish today, it's a new year, 2019. Word has come to you of what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. You've maybe heard it many, many times, that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Have you obeyed that message? Have you repented of your sins? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Rahab did, she and her family were saved. The people who didn't were lost. If you don't obey, you'll be lost. And if you do have this faith, are you acting upon it? Or is it just a passive faith? Because true faith is active. Are there signs following? Has your life been changed? Is there a readiness to take risks for the Lord? Have you a love for the Lord and a love for the people of the Lord? I love the way this woman's name comes up. I mentioned this at Christmas in Matthew chapter 1, the family tree of Christ. She is the great-great-grandmother of King David. Wow, a former prostitute. The great-great-grandmother of King David, and her name is in the family tree of Christ. God is able to give new life. God is able to give new hope, to change lives, and to make them useful for his glory and for his ends. I have found this such an encouraging passage of Scripture to dwell on throughout the past week. And I trust today, if you're hearing it, if you're not a Christian, you will obey the message. And if you are a Christian, you'll say, well, what can I do to serve the Lord in 2019? Let's pray. Father, we give thanks for your word, and we give thanks, Lord God, for this record of Rahab, her life, her faith, her actions, and Father, for what you did for her, and the glory of your salvation that visited her and her family, and those connected to her. We thank you, Father, for just the encouragement of this as we enter into a new year, here with your people entering into a new land. And you are at work, Lord God, and we long that you will be at work amongst us here in Drumrea, and that, Father, you will be drawing Rahabs unto yourself and men like the spies unto yourself who walk and live by faith, like Joshua, Lord God, that we would be a people, Heavenly Father, who walk by faith and who follow your call. Father, we thank you for this scripture, and we pray you'll continue with us as we finish our service. And our God, we ask that your Spirit will continue to speak into our hearts. And our Father, we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.